welcome to Art Bell Somewhere in Time, the night featuring Coast to Coast AM from September 27th, 2001.
From the high desert and the great American Southwest, I bid you all good evening, good morning, good afternoon, whatever the case may be, where your case is, and that's all the globe, actually, covered by Coast to Coast AM. Great to be here. Next hour, we're going to have Major Ed Dames on. For those of you that have joined us during the 911, since the 911 catastrophe, Major Ed Dames is a remote viewer. A remote viewer, for those of you who don't know, is not a psychic. A remote viewer is somebody who was trained by the U.S. government to see distant places, distant things, and distant people. And Major Ed Dames worked in the military program that went on for about 20 years. A lot of you may not know about that, in the CIA. And he's got some pretty horrific things to say about the work that he's done on all of this. A lot of people say, well, how come a remote viewer didn't see all this coming? Well, that isn't what remote viewers do. They don't give sort of snatches of big future events the way psychics claim to. They instead are able, through a disciplined program, as I just said a moment ago, to look at distant places and things and events, but they have to specifically go searching for it. So they would not just suddenly sit there and their mouth go agape and say, oh, my God, you know, two planes are going to plow into the Twin Towers in New York. That it wouldn't happen. It just doesn't happen. That's a claim of psychics, not of remote viewers. But Major Dames has done a great deal of work since the 911 disaster, has a lot of information for you, and that'll be next hour by popular demand. Now, CNN earlier tonight, as you know, I'm here in the desert about 65 miles west of Las Vegas, and CNN just reported earlier this evening that five of the 19 hijackers that did this back east were, in fact, to our dismay, here in Las Vegas in August. Nobody knows what they were doing. They may have been here plotting, planning, rehearsing, partying. Nobody knows. But five of the 19 were in Las Vegas in August. So that's a concerning item for us out west here. Recent developments in the whole terrorist arena. President Bush urges governors to call up the National Guard to protect U.S. airports as he begins bolstering airline security. His plan includes expanded use of federal marshals on the airliners, putting federal government in charge of airport security. That's a good idea. And spending $500 million on aircraft modifications, including making cockpits more secure. Thank you very much. Pentagon officials say that two Air Force generals have been authorized to order the military to shoot down civilian airliners that appear to be threatening U.S. cities. Oh, my. Let's read that again. Pentagon officials say two Air Force generals have been authorized to order the military to shoot down civilian airliners that appear to be threatening U.S. cities. Wow. How would they know if an airliner really is threatening a city? If an airliner, for whatever reason, goes off course or has radio trouble, wow, isn't that something? And they're worried about getting more people in airplanes. The president really doing a job on trying to help the airlines out, and they are in big trouble because people don't want to fly, and can you blame them? At any rate, now we learn generals are going to be authorized to go ahead and order the military to shoot them down if they seem like they're threatening a city. I wonder how they determine that. I guess they try and get a jet up and try and establish some sort of visual contact. I don't know. But that's an interesting one. The Reverend Jesse Jackson says he is considering an invitation from Afghanistan's Taliban rulers to take a peace delegation, I guess, to neighboring Pakistan. I wonder if he'll go. I know the administration does not want him to. 10 people arrested in Missouri, Michigan, and Washington State during the investigation into fraudulently obtained Pennsylvania licenses to transport hazardous materials. Whew. FBI warns that terrorists may strike using chemical or biological weapons, though the Justice Department says none of those arrested have any known connections to the terrorist attacks. Interesting, they said otherwise yesterday. The Pentagon has called 635 more reservists to active duty, thus raising the total to 15,600. The president has authorized the call-up of 50,000. British Airways, Britain's biggest airline, says it's going to cut 10% of flights after announcing earlier it would trim 7,000 jobs. On Wall Street, the markets open lower. Death toll at the trade centers remains 300, including 232 identified. Number of missing listed now at 6,347. Death toll at Pentagon remains 189. Pennsylvania crash, 44. So there you have it. This hour we're going to do open lines. Anything you want to talk about is fair. Oh, yesterday I put up a photograph of the sun as taken from a satellite about a million miles out from Earth. Just monitors the sun. Tonight we have put up another photograph, today's photograph of the sun. And if you liked yesterday's, you're just going to love today's. Oh my, what's going on our sun? Now, solar cycle 23 should have peaked some time, some months ago. But this is the most action we've seen in this solar cycle. It's really wild. The sun is really cooking. In fact, we'll ask Major Ed Dames about that. That's a prediction he has made in the past, and we'll go back and touch on that. Not a prediction, actually, but a remote viewing, something he has done as a project. Kind of scary stuff. And when you look at the sun, and if you'll go to my website at artbell.com, you'll see the latest photograph we got up. I think in the last hour we got it up there. Just go to what's new in today's latest sun image. My, 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 what's going on our sun? There you have it. Oh, there is one last thing. Congratulations, everybody. As you know, we had last night an absolutely intriguing guest here. He has written a book that is, I've been reading myself. I began reading before I even considered him as a guest, called Joshua's Hammer. Great book. David Hagberg. And when we began the program last night with David, his book, I think, was rated 3,000 and something or another on Amazon.com. And through the period of the program and through the day today, all of you have done an incredible thing. Mr. Hagberg's book now is now rated number 2. So you took it roughly from the thousands, whatever it was, to this moment when his book is rated number 2 on Amazon.com, and you will not be disappointed. That's a personal recommendation from me. It is an incredible book. Joshua's Hammer is an incredible book. I'm reading it. In fact, it puts me to sleep every night. I tend to read, you know, as most people do when they want to make themselves tired, and I'm an avid reader, so I always read myself to sleep. And I'm kind of enjoying this one because I've got a long way to go, and it's really, really good. At any rate, if you would like to take a look-see, go to my website, go to yesterday's, well, actually, what does it say? Let me read this. Go to artbell.com, and then go to program, and let's see, past programs info. And there you will see David Hagberg's name and the book. Just click on the book. It'll take you over to Amazon.com. Really a good book. Clancy-like stuff, no question about it. All right, in a moment, we'll go to open line.
Streamlink.
Listen to the strange stories, wondering where it all went wrong for so long.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 27th, 2001.
I've got a question for all of you. How many of you, since September 11th, have been having a hard time sleeping? My sleep patterns are absolutely destroyed, aside from my back, which, as you know, is a pathetic back, which actually was probably given to, I don't know, probably came from, maybe it was just God's joke. Here you go, have this back, Art. But aside from that, sleep. I can't sleep. I come on the air every night and I deal with this situation, and you know, it's not just all of you that has gone through a kind of a shock, it's me too. A definite shock, a real shock, and it's still affecting me. 4 or 5 hours a night, whatever, to come on here and deal with this, knowing what may come, knowing what we're in the middle of, and knowing what just happened to us, and all of the details of it, has put me directly in the middle of it, as I'm sure is the case with many of you, if not most of you, I'm sure. And I just wonder, how many of the rest of you have had your sleep patterns just shot to hell? I mean, there are times when I can't even get to sleep anywhere near or within 6 or 8 hours of when I ought to sleep. And so that just throws everything off, you know, everything's cattywampus, and I wonder how many of the rest of you are experiencing that.
Now we take you back to the night of September 27th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
I wonder what aspect of this is really getting to my psyche the way it obviously is. Is it what occurred on the 11th, or is it what I think yet may occur, or what we may run into in pursuing these bastards? I don't know. Something's really going to work on me, and I still feel a sense of foreboding, as I did in the weeks prior to this happening. I still feel a strong sense of foreboding. My wife shares these feelings with me, and I wonder how many of you are in about the same place. Worth mentioning, I thought. First time caller line, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello, Art.
Hello.
This is Ronnie calling from Euless, Texas, listening on 570 Cliff.
All right, Ronnie.
Well, in answer to that question, I think I've had about 7 hours sleep since the 11th. And, you know, it's strange. I had nightmares for about 3 nights before this happened.
Did you?
Yeah, it was, waking up in the middle of the night. I was having dreams about the devil. I know that's not the reason for my call.
No, it's interesting you would note that. And the sleep we have been getting, totally cattywampus. I mean, like missing when you normally go to sleep by 8 hours, that's really disturbed. And then when you do sleep, it's a disturbed sleep.
It is crazy.
Anyway, go ahead.
Well, you know, this is a little bit, I haven't heard many people talk about this on any of the media, but it's a concern that I've had with organized crime in this country. And I'm totally on board with George Bush. I think he's doing an excellent job. And it's pretty obvious that we are devoting our complete full resources to fighting terrorism and hunting down these guys. I mean, the DEA is involved. You know, the FBI, of course, the CIA. I just wonder, you know, with their backs turned to the problems in this country, especially with the war on drugs. I was just wondering, you know, how you felt about that, if you've thought about that at all.
Well, you mentioned organized crime. What do you mean? Do you mean that organized crime is going to have something of a free hand in some way or another to operate while all of this is going on that captures our attention?
That is really a side fear of mine.
I've got you.
Thought I'd put that out there. I haven't really heard anyone talk about it, and I know it's kind of off the subject.
Not really. It's an interesting thing to ponder, so let me ponder it. Thank you. It is interesting. Now, let's think about that. Maybe I'm naive, but here's what I think. I think organized crime is here. It's always been here. It's been just over the hill from me in great strength, as a matter of fact, in Las Vegas. And though Las Vegas would tell you there's nothing there now, I'm not quite as sure. The one thing I will say, though, and this is probably naive, is that, yes, it's organized crime, and yes, there are no sweethearts, but they're our sweethearts. In other words, I think that most members of organized crime, this is probably the best thing you can say about them, right, are generally patriotic. And they've probably been nearly as impacted by this as the rest of us. And so right now we're worried, we're worried about something that may happen to America. And I think that organized crime will continue to do what they do. Not a good thing, of course, but I don't think you have anything to worry about from them, anything big to worry about from them. And I think they're probably about as affected by this as you are. Even the wise guys are probably somewhat patriotic. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I think if I could mention three different examples of why I think the United States government and the media is waging a sophisticated psychological warfare campaign.
All right, number one, it sounds like you're talking from the bottom of a barrel. Are you on some sort of speakerphone?
No. I'm on a payphone.
Oh, payphone. All right. Be sure the radio in the background is off. Please.
Okay.
Proceed.
I wanted to mention three examples, if I can get time. One is the fact that during the run-up to the Senior Bush's attack on Iraq back in 90, there was an absolutely outrageous propaganda hoax that was orchestrated by the Bush administration against Iraq. It wasn't admitted until in the margins until a couple of years after the end of the war.
Oh, I remember there were quite a number about the hospitals in Kuwait, that kind of thing. You mean
the incubator babies?
I remember.
They dressed up Kuwaiti royal family in ragtag refugee clothes, gave them funny stories, rehearsed them, crowded them out on Larry King, CNN, C-SPAN, and the rest of it.
I remember.
I was reading that this was a hoax within some shoestring magazine, Z magazine.
It was propaganda.
Yeah, the Z Mag org website.
No. Don't.
Well, okay, but
don't begin to know that. Look, it was propaganda. We propagandize our people like every other nation on earth.
Yeah, but the fact is that the media pretended not to know this with all the resources I was reading about this. As I say, in a small magazine.
I don't think they did notice until later.
Well, I was reading about it in a small magazine that didn't have these resources. So what I'm saying is we have to be very careful. Another example I'd mention is that the Bush administration is going to bring into the top level of the administration a man by the name of Otto Reich as Undersecretary of State. If you check the FAIR organization, they sometimes turn up on Fox News. They brought out the in-camera secret findings of the Iran-Contra Committee and the National Security Archives that he ran a vast psychological warfare operation in the senior Reagan-Bush administration, planting false propaganda, framing up various countries that the United States wanted to smear and attack, like Nicaragua, falsely claiming they had MiGs and chemical weapons. It was all a lie. They laundered it through various so-called experts throughout the media. They had very much success in the collaboration of the media and peddling this stuff, and he bragged that he was using the same psychological warfare techniques on the American public that the military uses against enemy populations in time of war.
All right, well, you won't get it. Sir, hold it. Take a deep breath, please. In fact, let's hold it there. You'll get no argument from me. Your case, your larger case, is obviously to say that the American government propagandizes its own people. Of course it does. Every government does that, and the odds are very strong that we are getting some propaganda right now. No question about it. If you use the right resources, though, believe me, you need not be trapped by such propaganda. Here in America, you can go get yourself a shortwave radio. You can listen to the BBC. You can listen to broadcasters around the world. You can listen to news from a million different sources. You can get on the Internet, and you can confirm or deny stories that you hear. The research ability is right at your fingertips, but I would never for a second...
Premier Radio Networks presents Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight's program originally aired September 27th, 2001.
Good morning, everybody. It is indeed. Glad to have you along. Coming up in a moment, by popular request, and by that I mean hundreds and hundreds of requests, Major Ed Dames. Major Ed Dames is a remote viewer. He was in the U.S. government remote viewing program, which spent about $20 million, I believe, of taxpayer money over about a period of about a decade to develop and refine the ability in a military way. I guess you could call them refined psychics. It's a loose way to define them, but and probably somewhat inaccurate since they are not psychics, although it has a relationship to psychic ability. Having said that, it was refined with very specific protocols by the U.S. military, and I've seen Major Dames' record. I know that everything he says about his past is absolutely true. He took it from the military and brought it into civilian life and formed a series of companies which do technical remote viewing, and he'll explain it more elegantly in a moment. That's what's coming up tonight. Major Ed Dames, if you've never experienced, heard about, or understand what remote viewing is, you're going to want to listen very closely because a lot of what he has to say, as usual, is very shocking, very concerning, and I guess I would like to say if you are easily shocked and worried, you might want to tune out now because some of this you might want to miss. Some of it is rough stuff. And if you want a preview, go to my website. Go to tonight's guest info and click on Major Dames' website, and you'll see what you're about to hear. There's quite a good explanation up there of exactly what he has remote viewed lately that has to do with the whole terrorist attack, the whole thing, and it's of great concern. So get the kids out of the room, and if you're an adult and you can listen to this sort of thing without getting overly concerned, stick around. Otherwise, you might want to bail about now.
Coast to Coast AM is happy to announce that our website is now optimized for mobile device users, specifically for the iPhone and Android platforms. Now, you'll be able to connect to most of the offerings of the Coast website on your phone in a quick and streamlined fashion. And if you're a Coast insider, you'll have our great subscriber features right on your phone, including the ability to listen to live programs and stream previous shows. No special app is necessary to enjoy our new mobile site. Simply visit coasttocoastam.com on your iPhone or Android browser. Now we take you back to the night of September 27th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
Here is Major Dames, a man who was scheduled twice, as a matter of fact, just following the whole disaster in New York, and here he is, Major Dames. Welcome.
Hi, Art.
Sorry we blew you off the air when all of that occurred. It's been a time that I don't think any of us that have lived through this will ever forget.
The timing was right for me, Art. My team and my institute went right to work on the intelligence aspect of the problem. I just flew in from the Sandwich Islands last night. I'm in the City of Angels now, and we're still working on looking at loose terrorist group elements in the continental United States.
When you woke up, Ed, the day of the catastrophe, and you saw what was happening, what were your emotions? Were you surprised?
My wife called me from work. She works for a defense contractor, and I didn't see it on television. She told me. And I cried. And then when I saw the television, I realized that was the most horrible thing I've ever experienced in my life. And I spent 20 years as a soldier.
Let me read you something, and maybe this will help lead us into the proper area of discussion. It says, Dear Art, if Ed Dames is such a great remote viewer, then why the hell didn't he see the September 11 attacks coming ahead of time? You'd think he would feel some responsibility to try and thwart the attack. How about that kill shot from the sun that was just about to come? Well, we'll get to that. But with regard to what happened September 11th, a lot of people who don't understand what remote viewing is are saying, well, why the hell didn't he know it was coming and warn us? You want to answer that and sort of tell us about remote viewing at the same time?
Yeah, I'd be glad to. Remote viewing's roots, its genesis, is as a military intelligence collection tool. In the mid-70s, as a tactic of desperation, there were some very critical intelligence questions that needed to be answered by this country. And orthodox intelligence collection methods were not answering the mail. So as a tactic of desperation, some very gifted natural psychics in America, as an experiment, were approached and asked about some of these things, where there were no leads and very little evidence, and things like the erstwhile Soviet Union's biochemical warfare program, what was the capability of the SS-18 missile, those kinds of things, where we were really failing to collect the intelligence that we needed to determine what kind of defense systems we would need. These natural psychics, sometimes, the very great ones, when they were on target, when they were able to address the question correctly, produced very, very good information. But the problem was they were not consistent. So sometimes they were really on target and sometimes really off target. And we as intelligence officials could not determine when they were on and when they were off because of that problem. So what the researchers did at Stanford Research Institute and other places where remote viewing and parapsychology labs were institutionalized was began on behalf of the CIA and the U.S. Army with Army and CIA monies, look at what was happening when the very gifted psychics were on target. What was going on?
Why was it working? Now, science and the military and the CIA all like repeatability. In other words, they want to be able to just call on that information capability whenever they want, not just when the mood strikes. So they did what the military does, and they put together protocols, and very, very strict protocols at that, so that random information would be screened out, right?
Partially correct. Two different camps here. The Western scientific method, scientists demand two things, in the West at least. They demand replicability,
right,
and they demand a theory. You must have a theory. Whereas in the Department of Defense, we demanded replicability. We wanted to make sure it would work in battle, but we could care less about a theory. If it's not broken, don't fix it.
What do they mean by a theory? In other words, why this damn thing works?
Yes, scientists in the West, despite replicability, you can repeat. For instance, in my work as remote viewers, you or Larry King or the amazing Randy or any official could take and write down the name of a place, a thing, or an event, and my team could successfully tell you what is at that remote target.
Mm-hmm.
Successfully do that. We could do that time and time again. Anyone who is trained as a remote viewer can do that over and over again. So that's replicability. But without a theory for how that works, Western science is very uncomfortable. Indeed.
Did you get the opportunity to see Sylvia Brown on Larry King with Randy?
I just happened to tune her in.
You did?
Yes, when I was in Los Angeles the last time I was here.
Well, as you know, there's an ongoing challenge, apparently. I guess it's been put off by all of this, but there was a challenge done on Larry King. And Sylvia was going to try and win the big bucks, or at least beat the challenge. And I worry a little because she is a psychic, which is, although she's a very, very, very good one, a psychic wouldn't quite have the discipline of a remote viewer?
No, not at all. In fact, the same problem exists. That the problem didn't go away with natural psychics. A natural psychic can walk into, let's say, your house or your trailer and just get a general feeling. We don't like these words in our technology. We're better than the best natural psychics who have ever lived at what we do, but we cannot do what a psychic does. A psychic
right.
can walk into a house and say, well, this is a loving home, or something bad went down here, or whatever. We can't do that. But if we, as technical remote viewers, were to turn our attention in the way that we are trained to do it to a specific point in that house, we could tell you everything that went down at a particular time in that house, or whether or not it was a loving atmosphere, with many, many details.
All right. So a psychic might have this information just simply come to them that something big and awful is going to go to his website, where this is quite explicitly spelled out. The place that he believes the attack is going to occur and the manner in which it will occur are very explicitly spelled out. So I don't need to do it. Anybody who needs to know the answer to this question, whether it's you or somebody in our government, can find out within minutes by going to my website and then Major Ed Dames. Suffice it to say that he has outlined all of this. And if you want to know, my website is artbell.com.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from September 27th, 2001.
All right, so that's what we're going to do. So that we might not start any sort of panic or anything like that, I think I'm going to require that you go to his website to get this information. I want to read a fact that I think it would be relevant at this point to all of you. It is to me. It comes from Mike Bowman in Spokane, Washington. I'd like to know if the Major can prove the effectiveness of his talents. I don't mean to imply any disrespect in asking the question, but my understanding is the government had given up on remote viewing some time ago. Why would that be the case if, in fact, it is an effective technique in learning important information about one's concerns or enemies? Perhaps you could ask Major Dames to clarify this important question while he's on the air tonight. I'd appreciate knowing more about this, as I'm certain many of your listeners would. Ed, you know, when you're saying something like you're saying tonight, it's a natural question to have. Okay, exactly how accurate is this?
Art, there's a pretty solid history now for anybody that really wanted to find out about remote viewing. All they have to do is their homework. For instance, the Discovery Channel occasionally airs a one-hour documentary on myself and remote viewing called The Real X-Files, The True Story of America's Psychic Spies.
And that, yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. And programs like that, documentaries like that, outline really the history and the problems that we had as a unit. The real reason that the unit failed, there were two reasons. One, we did not work the... When we discovered in the laboratory and began using the techniques operationally how the best natural psychics produced the best work, the syntax and the grammar for how unconscious communicates to conscious awareness, accurate information about a target.
Mm-hmm.
When that was discovered and employed by the military, we still had to work the bugs out of those techniques. That took a long time, and we had to do it on the run against some very serious problems. We didn't have time to really play with this. We had to take it right into the field and begin to use it in some serious hostage situations. Those kinds of things are talked about in books and in documentaries. But the two points were, it was still hit and miss, number one, and two, it was an extremely controversial thing. It was top secret not only because our capabilities were better than anything that history has ever seen in terms of psychic performance, but we needed to keep it away from the policymakers, because some of them would have went nuts if they found out that the military was dabbling in parapsychology.
Right, okay, well, with respect to the information that you're giving to us tonight about this planned attack, Ed, what sort of a percentage of probability can we assign to it?
On the attack itself, we can't assign any probability on the location, and that's the reason why the remote viewing target was is that team that's on the loose. A team is on the loose is 100%. That they are moving toward a target now, as far as we're concerned, is 100%. That the attack will go down is problematic, because that's in the future. What we remote viewed is their planned attack point.
Mm-hmm.
We did not. This is not a forecast. This is not a prediction. This is not anything that a seer would do. This is their actual plans.
But you're saying with respect to the fact that they exist and they are on the move toward a target is
100%.
100%.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Okay, I can certainly understand how you you cannot know yet whether this is going to come off, whether it's...
We don't want it to come off. That's the reason that we're making this open source to the public, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Whenever they're it, we're going to continue. Now, terrorists now have our full attention. Prior to this event, we were looking for Chandra Levy's murderer.
Yes, I know. Ed, is there anything you can do to prevent the attack? As a remote viewer, is there anything you can do to actually prevent it?
No. We are in the information collection business. It's our job and our job to get the information correct. It is now our responsibility to make sure that we watch the homeland for any major terrorist attacks that are in the planning and shine a spotlight
right
on
it. Okay, so then the best way for you to prevent it is simply the dissemination of information, correct?
As far as I'm concerned, correct. And openly, absolutely openly, no secrets. Right out there, right in front, lay it out on the table for everybody to see, including the attack team and the FBI.
Well, that kind of sums up remote viewing in general, doesn't it? No secrets, no more secrets?
A world without secrets, that's yes.
I haven't convinced myself that's a good thing, but in this case it certainly could be. Traditionally, over the years, Ed, the one thing that remote viewers have had the most trouble with is not whether an event would occur, but generally when it would occur. In other words, timelines.
Still a problem. We have not worked that out. We have not we've not resolved that at all. We still have problems with time. We can look forward to an event that's high probability. That this appears to be a very easy thing for us to do psychically. For instance, we don't have, although the Technical Remote Viewing Institute, of which I am a director, has a monopoly on excellence, we certainly don't have any monopoly on the truth. Prior to the World Trade Center events, many people were having restless nights, and they knew that there was a sense of foreboding. So
yes.
You know,
oh, yes,
that there is a percolating up or down from the superconscious or the unconscious. Something's coming down that's not good, this feeling of doom. And so that's there. That exists. We just avail ourselves of that and turn it into a skill. That's why the last 20 years has been so important, working the bugs out, getting it down to precision detail. But having said that, as professionals, technical remote viewers, we cannot look forward and tell you how far it is to that specific event. We are aware of a couple of other key
right.
events in the future that we'll talk about tonight. We don't know how far in the future they are, but we certainly will tell you they're coming.
All right. Something that you and I have talked about frequently in the past comes to mind tonight because over the last couple of weeks, Ed, so we're in solar cycle number 23 right now, a solar cycle that somebody would like. As a matter of fact, all of this, Aaron Reed writes, I heard you last night, Wednesday night, Thursday, talking about a troubled sun and an X-class solar flare. Can you please describe what this means? I went to the link on your website and saw some very nice pictures, but didn't make any sense to me. Well, we have an 11-year solar cycle. It ebbs and it increases and reaches a peak and then begins to ebb again. That's the way it works. When the sun is very active and all kinds of things occur on the sun. Well, solar cycle 23 was supposed to have already peaked. However, over the last couple of weeks, our sun has been going berserk, absolutely berserk. I have never seen it look the way it does right now in my lifetime. So obviously they miscalculated something or another in solar cycle 23. It's really berserk right now. We've got a picture of the sun on my website, Ed, as taken from about a million miles out from Earth a little earlier today. And I'm telling you, it's bananas. There are eruptions and sunspots as I have never seen them ever before. And, of course, you've made some predictions about the sun, which we called the kill shot, or which you called the kill shot. So you want to take it from here? It is berserk right now, Ed. I don't know if you've seen the photos, but they're amazing.
there is something on the horizon. As we've experimented and played with technobrimopium over the years, it hasn't all been combat situations or military intelligence collection, as you can imagine, and we've talked about on your show particularly, many interesting things. But among them is an idea, a concept where that entertains the idea that remote viewers can't see past a certain point effectively. And this point is a point where warring parties on the ground are overcome by events and all of a sudden have new things to think about, and everybody's looking up. There is a war, a ground war, in the future, and that's probably what we're about to see now, and all the combatants all of a sudden on all sides look up. And after that point, much of the earth is covered by roiling clouds, and a lot of people fall down, literally fall down, which means to me, if I'm going to interpret it correctly, that the earth slows suddenly, speeds up, jerks, something like that, precesses, and a guess that I could take would be that something like the magnetic field collapses, or there is a dipole event in the center of the earth where the magnetic core moves, translates that energy through the mantle into the surface of the earth, and people cannot stand up. This event happens in the future, and all remote viewers get this. That is what is coming. Now, we attribute that towards something that is going on the sun.
Well, most of the things you just named are thought, I think, by science to be triggered by events on our sun. And there was a time when you predicted what you called a kill shot from the sun, and people really have that in their memory, and they ask about it all the time. So
this is what I am calling the kill shot, Art. I am saying that there, what appears to be an event on the sun, whether it's a mega flare or something that collapses the Earth's magnetic field, I'm not a geophysicist, and even if I were, I don't know if there's any precedent, at least in the last in recorded history, for this kind of event in memory.
All right, so you're placing this event now in the center of some sort of large ground war. Is that correct? I am.
And I'll stick my neck out on this one and say it looks like this ground war that's about to come. Now, this is going to be a long, protracted one, and all of us know that. But there is a point where everybody's priority changes, and this is this event that I'm talking about, a global event with global consequences.
Huh. Well, I certainly began to think about it as I viewed the current action on the sun. It brought all that to mind.
But we don't know how far in the future, because we can't do that. It's outside. It's one of the limitations.
It's always possible that you could be missing this by a war, say, right?
It is possible. Yes, it is.
All right. So people should bear that in mind as they listen. Is there any way you can look at the current conflict and see the larger picture, Ed? In other words, how large a war is this going to be? How protracted is it going to be? And how successful for us is it going to be?
Too complex for us to do, Art. It's just too complex. We deal with precision, and we're detail men and women, and we cannot make those broad brush. When we're dealing with that type of complexity, that's outside of our capabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We can think of a microscope where you can focus on specific details in specific places, myopic in some regards, but very, very detailed. We can turn our attention and our focus to specific things, but not to these wide, broad-brush arenas that you're talking about. We can't do that.
Will this be something small, I wonder, or are we on the cusp of a third world war of some sort? I guess that's one you can't answer also.
I can say only one thing. I know that whatever happens, the combatants will be overcome by events that are global in nature. Two events we know for sure. The aforementioned event that I described in gross terms, and disease. Diseases, communicable diseases that will ravage us.
Also related to this, what occurs on the sun and
I don't know that, Art. I mean, that would only be a guess on my part at this juncture. But I'm saying that opportunistic diseases will eat us alive, literally. And that will be, and I've been saying that for years.
I know.
And that's about ready to do it to us. So while we're fighting each other,
yeah,
we're going to be eaten alive by many microorganisms.
And shot at by the sun. All right, well, you know, I'll give you this. Ed, you have been absolutely consistent over the years. You haven't forgotten things you've said. You haven't modified things you've said. You continue to say exactly the same things. And so you get credit from me for that. You're very, very, very consistent.
Well, let me remind you of one more thing, and that is this. We've used technical remote viewing, my teams, over the years to look at some biblical ideas. One of them has been the mark of the beast in terms of Christianity. This mark of the beast is a very interesting thing because, as you know now, the need for, there's one thing that we can't avoid in this situation, Art, it's going to be almost impossible, and that's a national ID system. We're going
really?
To close our borders. We, at least in the United States, we must have an ID for every man, woman, and child. We must.
Oh, they're talking about it now, Ed.
It's going to happen, Art. There's no way that we can really have any degree of freedom without having this degree of, unfortunately, of control. Otherwise, terrorists will be free to move. Look at other countries that have this now, and it works. But there's something else that we have connected with this ID card. And the ID card at a certain point is a stamp. And the stamp is that you have received an AIDS vaccination.
What?
An AIDS vaccination. A point is reached where I said diseases will ravage us.
You did.
And AIDS is one of them. There'll be probably a polyvalent vaccine, polyvalent means that the vaccine will include a portion for AIDS, a portion for something else, a portion for whatever diseases, smallpox or whatever are out there.
Kind of a soup.
Yes, correct. And if you do not receive that, that stamp will not be on your ID, and you won't be able to get a job, and you won't be able to do a lot of other things.
A lot of people are going to say that's the mark of the beast, you know.
I am telling you that that is what we have derived from our work in using that idea of the mark of the beast to subject it to technical remote viewing. It is this mark on a card.
So you think it fits the description?
Yes, I do. And I think that that's what's coming down. And I've talked last show that we did about the false prophet. The
yes.
false prophet is not born of a woman. The false prophet in Revelation convinces the majority of people to follow what is called the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
The false prophet is television.
I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the false prophet is television.
Is a machine.
Boy, does that make sense, Ed.
And 666, the mark of the beast. If anybody who is trained in remote viewing, and many people are now, but various routes, if you take a look at 666 and as a remote viewer, you look at that, it's money.
You know, I'm laughing. It sounds out of place, I know, but I have been approached recently to do another television program. I told them it was evil, Ed. Television was evil.
Did you actually say that?
Yeah, I did. To the people who wanted me to do this.
Well, it is an interesting time. I mean, the dogs of war have been unleashed. There's a bad moon rising here.
I don't know if I listen. I don't know if I really feel that. Television really... Maybe it is evil. I don't know.
I didn't say it was evil. I said it is connected with what the prophets 2,500 years ago called the false prophet, the thing not born of a woman that would convince people, was so powerful it convinced the masses to follow the Antichrist. And it turns out when you remote view that, you sketch a television.
Well, I couldn't you loosely call that evil?
I'm not going to make... I
really have no problem doing it, although I don't really...
I'll call it evil. What I call evil is ignorance.
You know, something I would love you to work on, Ed, if you get the opportunity, maybe you already have and you can answer the question. Free will for human beings versus God's will. It is a really, really interesting question. In other words, are we in essence marionettes at the end of... with God just sort of dancing us about in some sort of pre-programmed life that we have here, or do we truly have free will? And it's important, when you look at something like happened September 11th, in consideration of, well, why did God let this happen? So, hold on, we're at the top of the hour, and I'll bring this up with you when we get back. Wouldn't you like that answered? I certainly would. Our will, our free will, versus the will of God. Are both true? Is only one true? You could probably look at that conceptually with remote viewing. Anyway, I'm Art Bell. We're at the top of the hour, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 27th, 2001. La di da 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 la da da da
la la la.
Art Bell, Somewhere in Time. Tonight featuring a replay of Coast to Coast AM from September 27th, 2001.
We will get phone lines open for Major Ed Dames as the program progresses, so not to worry. I want you to be able to ask him questions this night. Certainly extremely provocative what he has remote viewed, that an attack is imminent, that people involved in the attack are actually on their way to target with explosives. I choose not to air that here on the program, that is to say, the target. However, there is a way for you to get the information and or for law enforcement to get it, and that is to go to my website, artbell.com. Just go to the guest section. You'll see Major Ed Dames' name right there. If it's tomorrow and you're listening to this as a repeat, you're going to want to go to last night's program info. Either way, under Ed Dames' name, you will see the link to his website, and it is very graphically laid out for you there. Take a look.
Streamlink, the audio subscription service of Coast to Coast AM, has a new name, Coast Insider. You'll still get all the same great features for the same low price, just 15 cents a day when you sign up for 1 year. The package includes podcasting, which offers the convenience of having shows downloaded automatically to your computer or MP3 player, and the iPhone app with live and on-demand programs. You'll also get our amazing download library of 3 full years of shows. Just think, as a new subscriber, over 1,000 shows will be available for you to collect, enjoy, and listen to at your leisure. Plus, you'll get streamed and on-demand broadcasts of Art Bell's Somewhere in Time shows and 2 weekly classics. And as a member, you'll have access to our monthly live chat sessions with George Norrie and special guests. If you're a fan of Coast, you won't want to be without Coast Insider. Visit coasttocoastam.com to sign up today. Looking for the truth? You'll find it on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
What's happening out there? I sense it. People sense it. They call the program. There's something going on. I can't put my finger on it, but I feel it. How about you?
It is not our imagination, and the best minds of our time are telling us in no uncertain terms that we are living the greatest number of crises ever to face humankind. And they're telling us, George, that we've got to act, or not much else is going to make any difference.
Now we take you back to the night of September 27th, 2001, on Art Bell, Somewhere in Time.
All right, to finish up on this subject, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, but I am very curious about this. Conceptually, Ed, could you look at human beings' free will versus God's will and sort of define it and tell us what the story is?
Well, the techniques and methods that we use in our work, we know that all things, even general ideas, exist as patterns of information. We could explore those kinds of things, and we have. But the data is amorphous at best, and so there's no conclusions to be drawn, and I won't go into all the background information. There are interesting studies that have been done.
All right.
That I have led, but I do, and I would not generalize for other people. I can only speak for myself. I only make decisions for myself, and I would be the last person to say that this is the way it is. I only know what's true for me, Art. That's it.
Well, my guess would be if Ed Dames has complete free will, and God is not ultimately directing him and or yanking on his strings, then that would be probably true for the rest of us as well.
I wouldn't, that's not something that, a conclusion that I would draw. I just, that would be,
right.
I just don't
okay.
know.
All right. Well.
I'm a simple man.
How high is the sky? Those kind of questions. And listen, here's another important one. Because of the incredibly provocative nature of what you have said about a target right now being pursued, Ed, is it possible that you could look again at this group, you know, shortly even, and find out whether what you have made public here on your website is in some way preventing or has prevented this attack from occurring? In other words, how long would we have to wait to find out whether we've averted this?
I am not interested in whether or not I've averted it, Art. We're doing two things.
Well, I am.
Wait. I'll elaborate. We're doing two things. All of our resources are going into two things. We're checking daily to look at the next major terror attack site, the planned site on the U.S. mainland. Every day we check that out. Right now, today, as of today, it still points to the site that I have listed on my site. You can go.
I understand,
but Ed,
if that changes, what I'm asking is, can you tell us right away?
I will tell you right away. Whether or not I'll let you know immediately. I'll post it on my website. Go to on the web, remoteviewing.la is the fastest way to get there. Or and I will fax you any changes. But right now, there's no change. What we are doing, however. We're also looking at the other side of this. We're looking at the attackers themselves, the attacking element. Where is the terrorist attack element located? What kind of weapons do they have? Those kinds of things. But we want to know we want to have chain of custody on them and at least describe, even though we have a 4-hour time lag, where they were. We know that they were at a campsite, for instance, in the West. We couldn't pinpoint the campsite, but at least we can keep our finger, figuratively speaking, on them and keep reporting that to the public. Whether or not we're successful at averting or thwarting the attack is not my problem. My problem is making sure our information is correct so that somebody else can interdict and keep their eyes open. For instance, we know, and I won't talk about the site, that this particular plan sees an attack coming from the coast inward. They're coming in, possibly at night, with high explosives minimally, toward the target. All the eyes at the target are looking up and away. Guards armed with automatic weapons and a few other things. And the response could be very fast at that particular site. The government could be there on Johnny on the spot. But not if the attack comes from the sea, because nobody's looking that way, and the attack could be very effective that way.
Mm-hmm.
Evil can be brilliant, Art. Brilliant.
All right. Again, this information is contained on Ed Dames' website. For obvious reasons, I'm not giving it out on the air. I hope everybody understands. It is available to you, though, if you have a computer, ArtBell.com, then to Ed Dames' website very quickly, and that's occurring in mass right now.
And we will continue every day to look at planned terrorist, major terrorist attack sites. That terrorist has been defined. In the old days, I would say one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter, and therefore the idea is not solid enough in the collective unconscious to really be a useful search term. That is not true anymore. The World Trade Center disaster, catastrophe, defined what terrorism means to the collective unconscious, and in no uncertain terms, we can find the next major terrorist attack, and they have our full attention now.
Let's for a second talk about evil, Ed. This is something you might want to look at. A lot of people think it's just me that came up with this photograph, but it's not. When those planes hit the buildings, Ed, particularly the plane that hit the second tower, there were, because we've got so many people with video cameras now, many, many, many versions, renditions of that plane going into the tower, that horrible moment. And in the fireball, or adjacent to the fireball, as the plane hit the second tower, Ed, the pictures are all up in newspapers across the country. My website probably had it first. There is no question about the fact, in an unaltered photograph, there is an evil face in that smoke, Ed. I'm sure you've seen the photograph on my website. Just about everybody has. Have you?
Yes, I have. It appears to be a symbol for what symbolizes, at least to many of us, evil, yes. Yes, I've seen it.
Since it is a photograph and a snap of an instant in time, and we know it's unaltered, nobody played with it at all, it's there and it's plain for anybody to see, Ed, could you take that photograph and work on the angle of whether there is really some evil, true evil at work at that moment?
Yes, we actually could. We could take the photograph and circle it and use that as a target reference and research it using techno-remote viewing methods and see what's behind it, if anything at all.
Yeah, were we seeing some horrible coincidence of some kind? Just, you know, occasionally you can see faces in smoke, but my God, is this clear. Nobody would look at this and not see it.
I agree, and I think things like this happen all the time. We're certainly aware of what appears to be what we would call, what any reasonable person would call the supernatural is certainly real. We're just an extension of that, and it's an extension of our dimension, and the stuff's out there. We know. But we could take a look at that art if we get time.
The act itself surely seems easily described as evil. Absolute evil. The killing of all those innocents on the plane, in the buildings, it was an instant of evil, if there is such a thing. And for that apparition to be there in the smoke is pretty startling to the average person, Ed. So I'd love to know if it means something.
It could be, yes, I would agree. As a symbol, it's pretty meaningful if we're seeing what we're seeing.
If we're seeing what we're seeing, that's what I want to know. Okay, I thought I'd just put that on your assignment desk. Ed, what else would you like to get out tonight before we get to phones?
I would like to make clear to people, you know, what I am, who I am, and what I'm doing, because that may not be apparent to folks. There are some fun things that we can still do, but this act of terrorism has taken away a lot of the liberties to have fun. My responsibility no longer can be to look at, although I would like to talk later about the sunken city off of Cuba and some revelations we had about what that's connected to, those kinds of things. I think they're interesting. But as a Psy spy master, my responsibility now is totally in support of the Matrix Intelligence Agency, a commercial intelligence collection agency, to make sure that we at least inform the public about where another major attack in the continental United States is planned and where the attacking elements are. That's number one. My role as the director of the Technical Remote Viewing Institute is as an educator. It maintain a center for excellence and to teach people these skills as a profession. The Mind Dazzle, the kit that we commercially produce, is also extending this education to the public to demonstrate to individuals that what human potential really means.
Yeah, let's go ahead and plug that. Well, tell them about Mind Dazzle, what it is, and how to get it.
Mindazzle is an amazing kit. It's a technical remote viewing kit that out of the box allows you to prove to yourself that you can remote view. It shows you, it gives you some insight into what I do for a living and what 20 years and many millions of dollars of government funds have produced. In essence, a key to unlock a person's psychic skills.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what that is something that my colleagues and I sell as a product. And some of the proceeds go toward the support of Operation Goldeneye, which is, all right, I've got it, duly recorded.
So she has been giving me massage, and she has been using a special kind of oil, but I don't want to...
Actually, I didn't say oil. I said it appeared to be an ointment, and
okay, ointment.
Take a look at it, yeah.
All right, well...
And I also said it was unfortunate that sometimes there isn't any, optimum... path to recovery. That's the best thing that's out there right now.
I see. Okay. Very good. With that, West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Good morning.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing okay, sir. Where are you?
This is Ed, and aloha from Oahu.
Oh, Honolulu.
Yeah.
Okay.
This kill shot that he was talking about earlier, one of the things that he was talking about was a collapse of the Earth's magnetic field or something like that.
Yes.
And I was just wondering, because... a while back, I was seeing on TV how geographic samples taken from the ocean floor, from that they've learned that approximately every 10,000 years, the Earth does a sudden or almost instantaneous shift in polarity. And could that, it might be a reach, but could that be a possible precedent for what he's talking about there?
Ed?
It's as possible as anything else. Like I said, I'm not a solar physicist or even a geophysicist, and even if I were, we have not been able to describe exactly what is going on geophysically when this event occurs. So I just don't know any more than what I've said, Art.
Ed, how does the information specifically manifest itself? In other words, with respect to the kill shot from the sun, How does that information manifest? Is there somebody sketching something out that you then conclude means this?
Yes, it is. People that use Mindazzle, the remote viewing training kit, they do that in a rudimentary sense all the time. But we do it in a highly professional, using protocols that are very tight and very structured. And we actually do sketch the elements that are connected with the phenomenon itself. So we'll sketch the sun, we'll sketch the earth, we'll sketch things between them and have to investigate what's going on between the two entities, those kinds of things.
So we might see an actual sketch of the sun and the earth. Is that correct?
That's correct. You might see that. You might see the earth sketching the earth wobbling, sketching the earth turning. Sketching a viewer might be attracted to the inside of the Earth, and this is all done automatically, and all trained remote viewers do the same thing based upon whatever the task is.
All right, is there any way there could be a massive screw-up? In other words, and by that I mean this, here's a picture of what appears to be the sun and the Earth, but in some way it gets misinterpreted. In other words, it's not really the sun and the Earth, it's something else with some sort of interaction going on. You follow me?
Absolutely. That happened. There are so many pitfalls in this business and so many bad calls. But when you operate over when all remote viewers that have been trained come up with the same sketches and the majority of them say this is the Earth and the sun, and the others say this is a golf ball and this is a beach ball together on a grass somewhere, then you can draw certain conclusions, and that's what we've done over many, many test cases.
Gotcha. All right. I think that'll help a lot of people, me included. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
You've been listening, right?
Yeah, well, I was woken up early this morning and told to listen to the show. I work for a government agency here on the East Coast.
Okay.
I want to play the devil's advocate and ask a few questions. I've been looking at the website, also been kind of analyzing the conversation here. And
all right, if you've seen the website, please don't name.
No,
thank you.
I won't do that.
Thank you.
On the Mindazzle website, the words, U.S. government-sponsored research program. That's one question.
Okay, let's answer that one. Remote viewing for 10 years, sir, at the tune of $20 million was government-sponsored. It was, I think, the CIA, wasn't it, Ed?
It was CIA first and then the Army. But all that's cited in all the papers and all the documents, all you have to do is do some homework, push some buttons on a search engine, and it's all right there for you.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the news was broken about remote viewing on Ted Koppel's Nightline several years ago, sir.
I did see that. I was just kind of curious of where this stands as of now, as far as being, is it still being practiced? Is it still being looked into by the government?
No, it is not. Not by this government, but by the Chinese government it is.
And is there a specific reason why this has been discontinued by our government?
That's all right there for your leisurely perusal on many websites and many documents and many documentaries, including the Discovery Channel.
Okay. One more quick question. Also, the word theory has been used several times. I've been reading through your website here briefly. I'm just curious. You keep saying that we, and also when I've gone to the website, you've plugged on the show here your product, the remote viewing training kit, a few times. I'm having a hard time getting into the website now. It just seems like this is a product, a business for you. During this time of war and situation that we're in.
There is no question it is a product and business.
Yeah, it is. That is how that is one of the ways I draw my livelihood, is by selling that kit. I get royalties on that kit. That's true. Capitalizing on other people's grief and catastrophe,
As far as, you know, if this is going to be such a scale of an attack that you're talking about, I guess that would be kind of pointless at this point.
What would be pointless, sir?
Making money off of this, it seems like a lot of callers, but several people.
Well, no, wait a minute now. This is not some new introduction since 9-1-1. This is, you've been selling this kit for, what, Ed, about 6 or 8 months?
Correct.
Even longer. Okay?
What is he trying to accomplish? And I appreciate your show. I've listened to your show before, but I guess what is he trying to accomplish with this show tonight, as far as what's happening around the country? And I'm only simply...
Okay, well, the answer to that, I can even answer that. He's trying to avert this attack by making it public.
Okay. Has he gone to government officials and said, hey, look, this is what's happening, and what have they said, if he has?
Ed?
Are those questions have been answered already? I'll answer them again, yes.
The answer is yes, he has gone to government officials.
And have they responded? And why have we not seen this, or anybody's talked about this, except on this show tonight?
Well, you wouldn't honestly expect the government to admit that, would you?
At this point, I don't know what I'm expecting out of my government. In all honesty. You know, and I hope Major Dames does not take it the wrong way. I'm simply playing the other half of the 30% out there that are saying, you know, what is this guy really about?
Skeptics.
It's probably closer to 40%.
Okay.
Yep.
I hope you're not taking offense to that. I'm just a little curious and a little, I guess, concerned. I hope you're wrong. And I'm not. I
appreciate you being concerned, and I appreciate you being skeptical. Those are very healthy attitudes, and that will keep you alive, and I hope more people are like you.
Yeah, and, you know, there also will be a group, if this attack does not happen, they'll say, see, it didn't happen. And I presume to that you will say, yes, it didn't happen, and here's why.
No, I won't say here's why, Art. I'll be too busy looking at other prospective events, planned attacks.
Mm-hmm.
We are not predicting. This is not auguring the future. Mm-hmm. We're looking at the planned attack, and these plans are well thought out. There's a lot of work that goes into their execution and planning. This is what's on the docket right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Curtis in Western Maryland.
Yes, Curtis.
Yes, it's been quite a while since I called in. It's been a real pleasure hearing you back on the air. Great to have you back.
Thank you.
Ed, I've got a couple of questions for you as far as the remote viewing and psychic abilities.
Fire away.
Myself being a practicing psychic and being on the 60% that we're talking about here, I would like to know if you know of any cases where a fine-tuned psychic would go through the training, and would there be any difference as far as the way that they're able to take on the training of remote viewing? And have you ever found them?
Yeah, it's a commonly asked question, and The answer is that if someone on a bell curve, we're all born with different skills. Some people are better track runners than others, on and on and on. We know this. And some people are born more psychic than others, more tuned in. Some of those people have a problem. If you're too far above average, you can walk down a street and go into information overload, be empathetic, be an empath, pick up the feelings of all the people around you, and your life can be miserable. You can be paranoid after a while. But for the most part, people like yourself are just, you know, above average in terms of psychic ability, and they'd like to do something with that. If they're willing to undergo the discipline of training, we're talking about if we were to put someone through straight 2 months of training, if they were undergo the discipline of 2 months of remote viewing training, the natural psychics like yourself could become all-stars rather than just professionals. What that means, as far as we're concerned, is in a given period of time, usually about an hour's worth of work, they would be, the all-stars would be able to produce about twice as much detailed information than the professionals like myself. That's what we mean.
Okay. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and RFL. Good morning.
Oh, yes. Hello, R and Ed.
Yes.
This is Keith from Hamilton, Ontario. If I can, I'd like to ask two quick questions.
Sure.
First, Bin Laden, he could be a nomad and sneaking from various locations. I'm curious as to, no matter where he resides, can your team or viewers find his location at any given moment? And second, my question, Canada has the second most terror cells. Have you remote viewed anything of note of any destruction to Canada? Thank you.
No, on the second point, no. We haven't done anything. We haven't looked at Canada or anything, addressed that question whatsoever. Osama bin Laden, we have not looked for. We have only looked for the attackers in the mainland United States and their locations. We have not associated those attackers with Osama bin Laden, nor have we associate the attack on the World Trade Center with Osama bin Laden. Only the location of the people that funded and controlled it.
That's the wild card line. You're on the air with Major Ed Dames.
Good evening, Art and Major Ed. I have two questions regarding remote viewing. First, a little change of subject. Has Major Ed remote viewed the recent crop circle formations in England?
Oh.
And second, has Major Ed ever remote viewed the Flight 800?
All right, both good questions. With respect to the recent crop circles, it does seem to me you looked at that phenomena at one point. There were some spectacular recent ones, Ed, which I'm sure you know about. How would you answer that?
Two phenomena, enigmatic phenomena that my team members, people, my students, my team members, and myself have never been able to really understand, have been animal mutilations and crop circles.
Mm-hmm.
They are extremely fascinating, but I'm sorry to say that I do not understand them. And, you know, there's lots of mysteries in time and space, and I don't expect, who wants to know everything? These are two things I don't understand.
Right.
We have a plethora of information, but it's not coming together in any recognizable pattern.
All right. When the whole world was saying that they were certain that Flight 800 was shot from the sky, you did, in fact, remote view what had happened to Flight 800. And, boy, you hit that one on the head. I remember that. You want to tell everybody?
Flight 800 was brought down by a mechanical failure of the air-driven pump in System 3. That's the right inboard engine. It has a pump, a fuel pump there. That fuel pump disintegrated like the crankshaft on your in the engine in your car in a freak accident. It fractured. It fractured the housing, the pump housing. It spewed fuel and all over the place. It aerosolized the fuel, and the stoichiometry of that fuel air mixture was such that the kerosene and the air together created this big mist, which was ignited by the sparks that were flying off from this disintegrating metal housing. When that was ignited, the explosion ignited the fuel tank in the right wing, and the fireball migrated into the main fuel tank. That's how TWA-800 came down.
And I'd like to remind everybody, you said that at a time when everybody else was saying something entirely different, and there had been no a ruling yet, by a long shot, so people might remember that. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames. Hello.
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 Hi, Art. And Major Ed Dames.
Good evening.
It's a joy and an honor to speak to someone like you.
Well, well, go right ahead, ma'am.
Yes. I have a question. Is there any way that a person can remote view while they're sleeping?
Not the way we do it. We have, in fact, it's an attention management skill, and it requires you to be highly alert, eyes wide open, sitting up straight at the table, very, very attentive.
Okay, then I must be getting something else because I feel, you know, I have these dreams all the time, and I had a dream before this happened. And matter of fact, I had it about 2 years before it happened.
Yeah, it's a very common thing, as you know.
It is?
Yes. Very, very
wow.
Common. Yeah, it has been throughout history. Unconscious is our best friend. We, that part of ourselves, that is our best friend. It tries its best to keep us alive. It tries its best to keep us straight. We just don't listen to it.
But, you know, I have a son, and I have three sons, and two of them were in the Air Force, and one is out, and one is still in. And David called me, and he says, Mom, don't worry. He said, we got him. He said, don't worry. He says, tell the whole world if you want to. We're going to get him.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dance.
Hi, Art. This is Mark in Las Vegas listening to you on KDWN 720.
The alma mater. Yes, Mark.
Yes, sir. Major Dane's, a couple of years ago, you talked about a remote viewing of Jesus, and I don't remember much of it, so I'll ask three quick questions. After the reviewing, how did you feel personally, and what did you see? Was he Caucasian, African, tall, short, and things along that line? Then the second question is, there's a lady in my life who has something within her locked up, and I can't get to it to fully understand who she is. Do I start with Mindspring, or do I contact your company? I'll listen to it off the air.
All right. Ed?
Mind Dazzle, the remote viewing kit, is not going to help someone diagnose an illness, or a follow-on kits will do that, but the basic kit is not going to do that.
This is Mind Dazzle is just to demonstrate to you that you have the talent, right?
That's correct, and to teach you how to do it. So.
Mm-hmm.
And
with respect to remote viewing of Jesus?
Many of my students and trainees over the years, and myself, were interested in whether or not this was a real person. Was Jesus of Nazareth a real person, figment of somebody's imagination, legend, all that, despite what was out there? And he was a real person. We never addressed the issue of race, though. We'd have to actually turn our attention to that, sketch the person, and then get an idea and a sense for color of skin. Those kinds of things. We never did that. I haven't.
That would be actually kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
I think that it would be, yes. I just, you know, you can't think of everything, Art.
No, but you did confirm that Jesus was a real being that walked on Earth, right?
That's correct.
Okay. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm in Houston, which is probably not a real, I don't feel real safe here right now. It's kind of scary. I mean, this is probably not either on the last part of a target list, but about 15 years ago, maybe longer, I had I was washing dishes in my kitchen. I stopped, just froze, and I just saw a fiery plane accident, and it wasn't in the ground. And then I saw people falling, and it was so significant to me that I wrote it down. And like I said, this is like 15 years ago or so.
That is significant. Yeah, when you're moved to write it down, it's
right.
Beautiful.
And I was like 20 years old then, and you know, pretty naive. And was not, I didn't know about my intuitions or anything like that. I mean, I've always had intuitions and things, but I didn't know how to read them. I just didn't even really figure them out. And as I get older, they get real strong, especially this last year. So anyways, after this happened on the 11th, the next day I started writing down, because I was very consumed with what was popping into my mind, so I started writing things down.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if Well, I'm sure there is a lot of significance in it, because about 2 or 3 days afterwards, most of what I said started unfolding on the news, but not prior to that, even up until yesterday.
Ed, how many people are there like this young lady walking around?
It's actually all of us, except the signal strength, so to speak, is number one. Signal strength, it varies from person to person, and also the amount of attention, the amount of attentiveness that someone would give to that signal varies from person to person. So a lot of variables, but we're all psychic in those terms.
To some degree or another. A lot of people actually put up barriers against it, don't they? In other words, they find it extremely disconcerting, and subconsciously they throw up barriers.
Oh, not only that, even when it's demonstrated in your face, a very high official in the U.S. government was briefed on the existence of what was a top secret program, the psychic intelligence program that we had, and this man literally went sheet white and said, "Man should not know this until he dies." And he was an august scientist, Nobel laureate.
Okay.
Scared the heck out of me.
I understand. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Dietrich from Orlando, Florida.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple of things, because I'm actually a longtime fan of Dr. Doom, and I say that affectionately. I've listened to him on your show numerous times, and he's been right on the money more times than I care to place a wager on. And one thing I was wondering is, if memory serves me correctly, he had discussed the use of a nuclear device in an aggressive act in Pakistan, or at least
Korea,
that area of the world.
On the Korean Peninsula.
That's on the Korean one?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that, because I thought it was Pakistan for some reason.
No, Korea.
Okay, and another thing is, as far as the training stuff goes, does he recommend starting with the Mind Dazzle and then moving into doing other things, and does he ever do anything on the East Coast? Because I noticed most of the stuff on his website's on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's because he bounces between the Sandwich Islands and the West Coast, right, Ed?
I do. And I will tell you why I prefer the Los Angeles area. Because it is tremendously charged with creativity and with talent. And if you want to get something done, Los Angeles happens to be the best spot in the world to do it.
Whatever it is.
That's right.
All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Major Ed Dames and Art Bell. Hello there.
Turn this down.
Yes, where are you, please?
Quakertown, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Comment on what Ed Dames was viewing to the future, and he didn't see anything after the end of the system. It's a crossover. We will be entering a true new world order of true peace on this planet.
Well, I certainly hope you're correct.
You will be able to walk across the Serengeti Plains and play with the big cats just the same as you play with a kitten in the true New World Order.
All right. Well, Ed, you know, is that possible that this, I think we've one time called it a sort of a discontinuity, that which you cannot see past. Is it possible that it could be good past that point as well as, I guess it could, couldn't it? It's equally possible. It could be something good that comes about on the other side, something wonderful, as they say.
Our sense is that after this terrible period that we go through, and it is terrible, I'm very bad, that's the sense. Whether or not I'll be around to see it, I don't know. But the question I have is, if when we rebuild, if we rebuild with the same attitudes, and we make the same mistakes again, what good is it? We need better teachers.
Yeah, that's a very good point. All right, we're coming toward the end of the year, Ed, so let's, one more time, I'm going to let you plug Mind Dazzle. And I'm, as you know, very appreciative of your coming on the air, particularly when you have critical information. Mind Dazzle is a simple little kit that you'll have a lot of fun with. It's got how many sealed envelopes in it?
180.
180. With specific targets that you can test your own skills on. And it's kind of neat. If you want to order it, it's in America, you call 1-866, it's a toll-free number, 866-800-7777. 6463. If you're in Canada, you call area code 626-577-5742. And operators are, as they say, standing by now, and I assume generally during the day. Is that right, Ed?
That's correct. And you can go to the Mind Dazzle website via your own or go to MindDazzle.com.
The Mind Dazzle site, I believe, is still up. The rest of everything has crash-olded.
We'll fix it.
Been hacked. And it'll probably be fixed, what would you say, later in the day today?
Perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll fix it.
Okay.
The important thing was that the information got to the authorities and to the people in that particular community.
Right, so everybody should rest assured it is with the authorities now, as it certainly should be, and I hope they're taking it seriously. Would you imagine they are, Ed? Do you have feedback on that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If, I guess I don't want to go there. Okay, very quickly, east of the Rockies, we may have time for one quick call. Do you have a quick question? Go ahead.
Quick.
Yes, go ahead. Quickly, turn your radio off.
Yes. Okay, the question is, should I wait for him to come on?
No.
Ask. Thanks. I just wanted to find out, Major James, what type of perception is used, meaning is it usually visual images that the group of people focusing on an object are getting? Is it visual images by and large? What is the perception?
Go to the Mind Dazzle website and look at the examples there. Those are basic fundamental examples, but they form the foundation for everything that we do. As advanced as we get, that's the foundation. You'll see that in the examples at the Mind Dazzle website.
Good short answer. Thank you, Ed, and as always, thank you for being here tonight. It was a rough one to do in a lot of ways, and so thank you, my friend.
I think we're still both numb. I know I am, so this is not the real me, but I'll be back.
Take care, Ed. And we'll all be back. I'm Art Bell. This, from the high desert, is Coast to Coast AM.